Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, Believing is Seeing. It's taken from John, the 11th chapter, the 17th through the 27th verses. You know this story well. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said, "Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." While this section of the 11th chapter of John is often entitled The Death of Lazarus, that event occupies really only a small part of the text. The Lazarus resurrection is a miraculous climax in this story, but the story actually revolves around one of Jesus' closest personal relationships, his friendship with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Mary and Martha send word to Jesus that their brother is seriously ill. Now, at this point, we're not exactly sure what they want from Jesus, at least not according to this text. But because this is a personal relationship, they're all good friends, Jesus has been to their home several times, it really doesn't matter exactly what they want. We all know that sometimes you don't want a friend to do anything, just to be there for support, encouragement, and comfort. The sisters expect Jesus to respond quickly, but he does not. As a matter of fact, he waits several days before he arrives in Bethany. It is the wait that drives much of this conversation. We know that this wait will result in a happy ending because we know the story. But there is a message in the wait itself. There are always important lessons when you have to wait for God. When Jesus receives word that Lazarus is dead, he says to the disciples, "I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe." Now, this is the key to the raising of Lazarus. Every once in a while, Jesus chooses to display his awesome power in a miraculous way. He doesn't do it all the time. He doesn't have to do it. But when he does, when he has a miracle or produces a miracle, when the dead comes back to life, when the Spirit moves mightily in the atmosphere, it's not because it's a Superman who's flying in to rescue someone from the abyss. It's not a genie in the bottle that obeys people's beck and call. When Jesus steps into our circumstances and the impossible becomes possible, it's so you may believe. It's so you may believe. Now, Jesus gets to the house, and Martha, an assertive woman, she speaks her mind. She runs out to launch her complaint about his tardiness. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." This tells us a couple of things about Martha. There's a sense of intimacy in her words. There is some history here. She has some confidence in Jesus. She knows something about who he is. She knows about his power. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." This exchange offers us some valuable insight into what Martha already believes, where she is on her faith journey. She says to the Lord, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." In other words, this is what I believe. This is why I called you. Martha knows Jesus. She knows the relationship that Jesus has with God. She knows that Jesus can do amazing things for her brother, even now. How much do you know about Jesus? Most people know a little something. You can stop anybody out there on the streets and they'll tell you a little something something. And for most folks, that's enough. But a little something something is not enough for Jesus. Because Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. This is one of those emphatic, radical, line-in-the-sand statements that God makes that focus us on God's miraculous presence in the world. It's a sign, but it's a sign to make you believe. God's signs are sent to warn, to deter, to console, to enlighten, to encourage, to direct, to move us. They signify God's presence in the world. Martha's response, I know that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. You have to wonder here, what exactly does Martha believe? There's a bit of confusion. On one hand, she seems to be looking for a miracle. She says, even now, I know God will give you whatever you want. But in the very next breath, she retreats from that expectation to a more general, less fervent statement of her belief. In other words, she settles for a little something something. The idea of people rising in a resurrection on the last day was a pretty orthodox, Pharisaic belief. Anyone who studied under the Pharisees learned that that was so common knowledge. That was not indicative of any real understanding, however, of Jesus. Martha is expressing what a lot of us feel. We are ambivalent in exactly what we believe about Jesus, who we believe Jesus to be, what he can do in our lives. It comes down to the difference between seeing is believing and believing is seeing. You see what I'm saying here? That's a play on words, but that's exactly my point. Seeing is believing, or believing is seeing. Which one defines you? Remember, after the resurrection, when doubting Thomas says he's not going to believe Jesus has risen until he can touch Jesus, he's not going to believe anything. The Lord obliges and then says to Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. The world says seeing is believing. Everything has to be based on evidence. But the Christian life is built on the foundation of believing is seeing, an envisioning of God's reality. It is our willingness to believe in Jesus that allows us to see his miracles. It's like the Clark Sisters song, I'm looking for a miracle, expecting the impossible, feeling the intangible, seeing the invisible. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you believe, the more you see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. So we have to be real clear about what we believe. Now, belief in the secular context is defined as the acceptance that something is true, that something exists. It is faith, trust, and confidence. One of the most disturbing but instructive lessons from this election is the revelation of just how politically divided this country really is. Half believes in one thing and the other half believes in something polar opposite. Beliefs govern nearly everything we do, how we vote, who we listen to, how we live, where we go. It is a fundamental, essential human component. Social scientists will tell you that believing is the result of evolution. As humankind evolves, we have to find a way to make sense out of an incomprehensible and dangerous world. The spiritual perspective, based on the Word of God, created us to believe in God. According to the prophet Jeremiah, God says, I will make an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from, doing good to my people, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. Augustine wrote, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, God. God created us to long for God. But remember, there is always a choice. You are where you are right now because of a number of factors influencing what you believe about your life and your circumstances. But what trumps all of that is God. Once you surrender your mindset, your heart to that reality, turning over all your thinking to God, the Holy Spirit will become even more prominent in your life. Then you can begin to see everything differently. It is a process of spiritual growth, growing in your relationship with Jesus, you grow in your trust. Now, some of us get stuck in what I call situational faith. We approach faith like we approach everything else, like a light switch. We turn it off and on as we need it. Our belief is tied up into specific outcomes. There are instances in the Bible where God requires a person or a nation to believe him for a certain thing, but that's really only a part of who God is. Faith should not be outcome focused. Faith should be God focused. So instead of saying, I believe I'm going to get that job, or I believe I'm going to get well, I believe God. We all come to church, perform the rituals, but that's not really believing. Believing Jesus means trusting him day in and day out, knowing Jesus, growing in Jesus, making Jesus the Lord of our lives, the ruler of our lives, the master, day in, day out, 24/7. How do we do that? 2 Peter 1:5 states, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. You see, there is action in this belief. There are things that you can do that result in growth in your character. If you don't work at these things, this belief dies. Now, I'm not saying you're working to buy salvation. I'm saying you're working to grow in God. You know, we like to tell the world that we believe in God. But what we need to say to the world is that we believe God. Belief is struggle. It is risky. Because you're stepping out in the darkness sometimes. Believing is dynamic. It is passion. There is power in it. You must believe. I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that anything can change. Yes, Lord, I believe you can raise the dead. I believe you can do the impossible. You believe, and so you see. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will rain if you let me.